Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, kicking off this amazing award has been tremendous. This has been tremendous. I didn't expect so many people to be voting this early, but they have, for the Sambo of the Year Award. More than 1,000 people has voted in 3 days. More than 1,000. That is incredible, because what they do, they understand how important the Sambo of the Year Award is. You see, and those of you who don't know, the Sambo is basically a person who sells out his community and our children. That's what they do. He works against community. That's what they do. They work against the people in our community and have continued to do so. But we're still going to have people voting for these people because their minds are undeveloped. They don't understand that they're hurting their children also. And when I say that, I mean exactly that. They're hurting their children also. They're not just hurting my children. They're not just hurting your children, but they're hurting all the children in the community, these sellouts. They're for real. They are for real. And like I said, we have received at this time more than 1,000, listen to this, people have voted already, and the vote just started on Friday. So I'm expecting the tally to be way up there in the thousands for the Sambo of the Year Award. Let me repeat the candidates themselves. The candidate is the mayor here, Marcus Singer. He used to be Marcus Muhammad, but he lost that name, Muhammad. Once he became a sellout, he could no longer have that title as Marcus Muhammad. His name is Marcus Singer. You know, I know he probably was married under the name of Muhammad, but his wife would have to go back to being a singer also, and the children, because we're taking all that back from him. He don't deserve to be called that. He's a straight-up sellout, and I'm expecting him to win this thing. And I'm also looking for others. We have Judge Mayfield here, the baby taker. That's what she do. I can't say, was she taking them and getting a cut for selling them or whatever. I can't say that. Only thing I'd call her is the baby taker, a black lady, the Clarence Thomas of Barron County, Judge Maybelline Mayfield. You might know her. She's the baby taker. That's what she do. She's been doing it for years, 15, 20 years, taking children. And that's what she do. But black folks don't call out other black people who has a title. They don't do that. They won't do that. And I understand, because I know you got a lot of cowardice in you. So, yeah. And then we have Dan McGinnis, the chief of police, who has not solved the case probably in his life. The people here, you know, something happened. You can't even call the police here. You call the police, the first thing they ask, is the person needs help, black or white? You know, you call the 911, which is unbelievable that someone would even say that and include race in anything. When you need help, you need help. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. You need help. And that's why when you call the chief of police, this is exactly what happened. They want to know whether the person in the community, black or white, that needs the help. And if they're black, they, you know, you maybe got 2 hour wait. They white, they'll be there within 30 seconds. So that's how that operates, and that has to stop. Then we have Ryan Singleton, the spineless commissioner. He don't have a spine. He's a man without a backbone. He's a former chief of police. He was like the Don Knox. If you watch Andy Griffin, this boy was shaking like a leaf. He's the worst of all because he sit back and sneak and do stuff. And he's a strong Whirlpool supporter undercover. So you're dealing with people who has the power to help the community and have refused to do so. And then you have the mother-son combination, Sambos. You have the mama who's straight up Sambo, backstabber. She all that. She's a professional backstabber. That's what she do. And so far she has gotten away with it. Nobody calls her out, but we're calling her out right now because she's been nominated for the Sambo of the Year. And it's my understanding she's running a very, very close second along with her son, who happened to be a commissioner, Dwayne Sees, whose hand is dripping with blood. He got blood all over his hand, all over it, dripping with blood. I mean, when you see him, all you see is blood. The other day I was at the doctor's office. He walked up to me and wanted to shake my hand. I don't shake hands with a bloody, bloody hand. That hand is bloody. It's full of blood. You know, now I don't want to go into how the blood, what he did, but unfortunately there was a person who died, and I say that I'm saying he's responsible for it, but I am saying that. It's so much so. Let me go over. You have Marcus Singer, the mayor of Benton Harbor. You have Judge Maybelline Mayfield. You got her. You got Dan McGinnis, the chief of police. You got Ron Singleton, the spineless nothing. Then you have the mama and the son combination, Marletta Sees and Dwayne Sees. You see, this is important too because there are three elected officials in this group. You have the mayor. You have Ron Singleton, commissioner, and you have Dwayne Sees. And here's the thing. They raised the water rate in the city for 10% for the next 5 years to fix the pipe. But the pipe is being fixed, thanks to the Benton Harbor Community Water Council, by the governor and the EPA. So there's no need for the residents of Benton Harbor to have to pay that extra 10% every July 1st, your bill will increase. That is a no-no. But I know people here are spineless too. They don't have a backbone to stand up to these people and tell them that, you know, that we don't want to pay that 10%. That's a lot of money. I'm being honest with you. That is a lot of money. 10% over the next 5 years is a lot of money coming into this community, and we don't know where all this money is going. More than $33.2 million came to, and another $15 million came into the city. The bus that was designed to fix the pipe. Kind of money is coming in here, thanks to the Benton Harbor Community Water Council. The Benton Harbor Community Water Council are the ones responsible for all the work that's being done today. These elected officials have nothing to do with this, nothing. All they get doing setbacks, but the problem was the $33.2 million that we achieved from the governor's office and the EPA went to these white folks who went out and hired five more white companies to do the work and to take the $33.2 million directly out of the city. And for reason unknown, they think they're doing the great. Let me tell you what they did. The city elected officials, including this mayor we got, who's a straight-up slimeballer, a gutter rat, and this other commissioner, he's another gutter rat. Then you got this other commissioner, he's a real gutter rat. You got is Muhammad? No, I'm sorry, Singer, Singleton, and C, the 3S. The 3S, that's who they are. You got Singer, Singleton, and Sees. And these are the people that's hurting our community. You see, they gave Adamar $33.2 million, and they gave them a $40 plaque saying they're doing a great job. How stupid are the people here in the city of Benton? Then you actually you paying for it because they're charging you additional 10% for the next 5 years. Where is that money going to go? You see, the people here, you have to change the way you do business. You have to do it. You have to make sure doing this is doing the right thing. I do not see them doing what is right. I don't. That's me. I don't see it. You see, the only way that they're going to do what is right is we force them, you see. And by calling them out, making sure they understand that there are people in this community who will stand up to them and not intimidated by it. I don't care. I'm not trying to win a popularity contest with you people because I know that if it was, you wouldn't vote anyway. You'll vote for somebody who you claim you went to school with, who was a slime ball when you went to school with. Now he's an elected official, and you still going to vote for the slime ball the way you think here. That's why y'all been, they messed over you people with the contaminated water. They knew the water was contaminated and didn't say a mumbling word. All of them. They knew the water was contaminated and didn't say a word. They didn't care about you, your children, your children's children, none of that stuff. This is what we're dealing with today. We have to make sure that we call these people completely out. We got to make sure that what we said is accurate, you see, because if you ever say anything wrong, they're going to catch you, and they're going to ride on that. But remember this. This is crucial that people understand that we can win if we fight. See, the fight against fascism is a fight for basic human needs. Remember that. The fight against fascism is a fight for basic human needs. It's just that simple. Anytime government merges with the corporation, that's fascism. Your elected official has merged with Whirlpool Corporation to create fascism. That's what it is. It's just that simple. And it's there, right? And they're saying right in your face. That's what they're saying. Ain't nothing you can do about it because you ain't going to do nothing no way. You intimidated by these slime balls to you. If you want to protect your children, what you're seeing going on in the streets now is the lack of wisdom more than anything else. You see, a community should be, or the community should be telling the police how to police their own community. See, the police don't run this community. It's supposed to be ran by the people. You're supposed to tell the police how you want your community to be policed. They don't tell you, oh, we're gonna do an 8 o'clock curfew. They don't tell you that. You tell them what you want. I know people here don't have the heart, the strength, the gall to stand up and say and how to protect their own children. They don't know how to do that and not willing to go to someone who know how. You see, I know what to do. But unfortunately, we got so many folks here who don't know they're crazy. See, I'm that guy. If you a sellout, I won't cut your hair. Not me. If you a sellout, I won't sell you any food. I won't sell you any gas. I won't do it. I'm not going to do it. Because somebody got to send these folks a message. And that's why we're in this compromise position. Let me say this before my time run out. Don't forget to vote for the Sambo of the Year Award. We had a great week. Everybody vote. You know, all you have to do is send an email to banco9342@sbcglobal.net and say who you vote for. If you're voting for the mayor, Marcus Singer, You put Marcus Singer. You can vote for two people. Two people. Two out of the six you can vote for. So if you're voting for Judge Maybelline Mayfield, you could do that. For Ron Singleton, you could do that. Or you could vote for the Chief of Police, Dan McGinnis. And or you can vote for the mama-son combination. But you can only vote for two out of the six. Some people, according to them, was voting, you know, voting for all of them. You can't vote for all of them, okay? We have to throw that vote out because you can only vote for two. So when you email me, you could just put in Mayor Marcus Singer. You could put him, his name in there, or you could put Judge Maybelline Mayfield, or you can put in there Chief of Police Dan McGinnis, or you can put in there Ron Singleton. You can put his name in there, or you can put the mama-son combination, my letter seat, and Dwayne seats. You can vote for two out of the six. So you don't forget, email me. Do not vote. Do not vote for and say all of them are sambos. Yes, they are all sambos, but we can only vote out of two out of the six. So if you can do that, we'll know exactly what we have to do in our next step. So on that note, I'm going to bring in my first guest from Columbus, Ohio, the one and only Minister Ashe. Love this man. Love this man. Minister Ashe, talk to me today.
Reverend Pinckney, how are you today?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm just
having a good time today, Mr. Ashe. I'm just having a great time, just getting this thing on. We got this Sambo of the Year award going around, and it really lit up my thing. That the girls that was hollering this, said, "Wow, they did not anticipate this many people be voting for these guys." But I got something I need to talk with you about. In Akron, Ohio, there was a young man who got killed. Do you know anything about that? Can you elaborate on that just a little bit before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, I'm in Columbus, Ohio. I'm about 110 miles south of Akron, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And what we know so far, the police claim while he was driving, this 25-year-old young man was driving, he shot out the window at them. That's what they claim.
Mm-hmm.
His family claims differently. But the facts that we do know is that he got out on foot and he was running. When he was running, he was unarmed. Now, if he was unarmed, police chasing him, they fired at least 90 rounds at him, 90 bullets. And 50 to 60 of the bullets hit his body.
Wow.
And he was, and then the chief of police, white man, of course, said that they tried to revive him. Well, how are you going to try to revive somebody that's been shot 50 or 60 times?
Yeah.
So it's a bunch of nonsense. The statements that they had made were nonsense. They shot the young man 50 to 60 times, and I mean they had to be shooting him while he was on the ground, because
yep.
Once you get shot a few times, you're gonna fall down.
There you go.
So when he fell down, they had to still be shooting him. And there was supposed to be about seven white cops and one black cop shooting at him, supposedly.
Oh, okay. So, I didn't know they had a black cop in there too. Very good. Thank you.
But the thing is that they shot the boy to pieces. And there should be they're supposed to have a video coming out, but they haven't released the video of the police cameras on the cops. They haven't released that, so we haven't seen that. But they've been making all kinds of excuses, of course. as usual, the police get a paid vacation while they do the investigation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
A paid vacation. Now, why are you going to get a paid vacation while doing that? And you got a paid vacation while you done shot somebody to death. But that's their usual procedure. You get a paid vacation while, you know, they're doing the investigation. That doesn't make any sense to me. My 40 years ago, my brother was shot and killed by the Columbus police, running away unarmed. I'm with a group of people, mothers here in Columbus, where their kids were killed by the Columbus police. We've now got a new police chief, Chief Bryant. She's from Detroit, a woman out of Detroit, African-American woman, and her deputy's African-American woman. But we're hoping for something different than the patty rollers that we've had all these years here in Columbus, Ohio, which is the capital city. But up in Akron and many other cities, they are still on the old patty roller, slave-catching type mentality, you know, shooting an unarmed black man. There were two unarmed black men shot here in Columbus, but we've got them up on murder charges now recently. They're up on first time anybody had ever been the county sheriff's office and the Columbus Police Department. I got two people up on murder charges for killing two unarmed black men, Casey Goodson and the other brother. I'm in the history of Columbus. So things are changing here because some of us are standing up and bringing in other people. Like we brought in a new police chief. I've met her. I've talked with her. And she's instituted new policies. So the whole idea is that you've got to bring in people that will do stuff for the community. As you're talking about the people in the community, you know, you got to make a difference in your own community. The scripture, there's a scripture somewhere, Reverend Pinckney. I don't know where it's at, but it says, mark those among you. Name those among you that cause disputes in the body of Christ. Mark those among you. So that's what you're doing. You're following an age-old scripture where you're marking those, regardless of what color they are, like you call them the Clarence Thomases. These people, you know, are hurting our community, and it's time for us to call names.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Mark the scripture says, mark those among you.
Yeah.
I don't know where it is, but I've read it before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're doing, and we're real proud of you for doing that because you've got to name these people that are causing dissension, that are sellouts, are quote-unquote Uncle Toms, Aunt Jemimas, Uncle Toms, Uncle Sambos, little black Sambos. You gotta name these people because these people, they are not for the right things. You know, no matter what color they are, what ethnic group they're from, they're not for the right things. And, you know, we have a history of not naming those, calling those people out who are hurting our community regardless of who they are. Well, I've got a bad reputation here in Columbus, Ohio. You know, I've got the reputation of a troublemaker. You know, when officials see me coming, they know something's up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the only way you're going to get things done. Congressman John Lewis talked about good trouble. You know, I stay in good trouble. So
Amen.
That's what you're doing, Reverend Pinckney. That's what you're doing, Reverend Pinckney. You're in good trouble, but, you know, even though the government officials don't like you, there's somebody that sits high and looks low that loves you. There's
Amen.
Somebody who hung on a tree who said, well, this is my brother. There's a God in heaven who says, this is one of my beloved sons in whom I am well pleased. And that's the only person that you got to please. The only person that we have to please is our Heavenly Father. We ain't got to please
Amen.
None of these Negro peons around here. I call them Negro peons, Uncle Toms, you know, little black Sambos, Aunt Jemimas. These people will sell you up a river and send you to prison for something that you didn't even do. So I know that for a fact because they sent me to a prison in Michigan for 16 long years for a crime that didn't even occur.
Yeah,
so,
I know the
you know, that. I know for a fact about those kind of people firsthand. So some of them have people in our family, some of our people in our community. So name those people among you who are causing the dissension in the body. And that's what you're doing, and we're real proud of you, Reverend Pinckney, and I'm going to let you go with that.
Let me say before you let me go, I was talking earlier this week about the United States Constitution. I was telling them that there is no constitution that this country had put together that would help the black man. Because remember, they said we was only 3/5 of a human being. That mm-hmm. means that we're 60% human. The other 40%, we don't know what they're thinking. But I don't go by what they say. I go by what we say. So they, you know, to mm-hmm. me, they ain't nothing. They ain't nothing but a group of people who hate black folks and we're going to continue to hate black folks until we step to the plate and willing to stand. I remember the movie Godfather when Michael Corleone was in Cuba, and that was during mm-hmm. the Castro War. It was, you know, they called them guerrillas, and Michael said something that's really, really pinched my nerves all these years. I'm talking about 30 years ago, you know, when he said this, and I heard it. He said, they could, you know, these rebels can win this revolution because they're willing to die for the future mm-hmm. of their children. And mm-hmm. that really, really pierced my heart because I said this to myself. I said, if they're willing to make that supreme sacrifice to help their children, then they can win. We can win if we're willing, and that's what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to make a sacrifice so the people can do, because right now they got us so dummy down. You know, people scared to do. The only thing they're not scared of is each other. Black folks ain't scared of black folks. I can tell you that now. They will do it, but you put a white person right in the middle of that crowd, they be scared to death to move. And, wow, we got a long way to go. And I think we can achieve anything if we stand up and fight back. I believe we can do it.
Yeah, I saw that movie, same movie, with Michael Corleone. I saw it, and that true story in Cuba. They did complete their revolution. The Cubans throughout the Uncle Tom Batista, who was the president, and mm-hmm. Castro became the president of Cuba, and he organized in the mountains. But, they did win. They not only could win, but they did win. But what you're talking about is the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, the Electoral College. What they did, Andrew Jackson, who's the man on the $20 bill, he was a slaveholder, Andrew Jackson, on the $20 bill. See, these people will not let go of the evil. They were supposed to put Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill, but they didn't. But Andrew mm-hmm. Jackson was a Confederate racist, rapist, slaveholder. A racist, rapist, slaveholder. Just like George Washington, just like Thomas Jefferson on the $2 bill, just like Alexander Hamilton on the $10 bill. You know, mm-hmm. they won't put freedom fighters on there or Native American Indians or even the women, white women suffragettes who got the right to vote. They leave those slaveholders on the money because that's in their hearts. And
that's right.
I just sent you an email about it. So they won't let go of the evil. They will not let go of the evil. That 14th Amendment puts together the Electoral College. And see, since we were 3/5 of a person, the South did not have that many voters. So they mm-hmm. said, well, you got all these ex-slaves. So what we'll do, we'll set up the Electoral College, and instead of making one person one vote for the president and the vice president of the United States, the Electoral College will elect them. Every state gets so many electoral votes based on the population. Well, the population in the South had a lot of black people that could not even vote at the time in the 1860s. Mm-hmm. But they were counted because they were using the Electoral College. Now, they should have mm-hmm. abolished Electoral College because, if you can remember, Hillary Clinton, who I didn't particularly care for, she had more votes than Donald Trump. She had 1.5 million more votes, but she lost the election because Donald Trump won the Electoral College votes.
There you go.
That's the system they've got set up now. That's the 14th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, which needs to be abolished along with a bunch of other stuff. But that's what they have done, and they've got a system set up in place where they are gerrymandering the communities now. You know, it's all part of the whole plot of monopoly finance capitalism, which is the economic system, like you talk about Whirlpool and the big corporations. These corporations got a stranglehold on the politicians. So we've got to find politicians. We have to find politicians that are not afraid of these big corporations. But that's the problem.
Well, you know, most of these politicians are in the pocket.
Most of these politicians are in the pocket of these big corporations, and that's the problem.
That's the major problem right there. You said the magic word. That is the problem. Wow. That is huge. And that's why we're living in a fascism system, and people don't even know. They don't have a clue.
Yeah.
You know, it's right there in your it's in your face. And they're saying, what can you do about it? You know, you don't have enough people who know that fascism is alive and well in this country. And
it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse because there's a scripture that talks about Jesus talked about, and Jesus in English, Yahshua in Hebrew. Jesus said that there was a man that had a demon, and the demon went out the man and walked in dry places. But when he said, I'm going to go back to my own house. So when he went back to his own house, he found it empty, swept, and garnished. And when the demon came back, he took seven more demons worse than himself. And the evil spirit, and the end of the man was worse than the beginning of the man. What America has done, they swept and garnished the house, but it's empty and unfulfilled, which is the name of my last sermon. I just wrote a sermon to the President of the United States, my Congresswoman Joyce Beatty, and my Senator Sherrod Brown. You got a copy of it, and it uses that scripture from the book of Matthew, and the title of it is Swept and Garnished, but Empty and Unfulfilled. Swept and garnished, but empty and unfulfilled. So what's happening in America, you're getting ready to find, because they haven't fulfilled their promises to us, no reparations, no repatriation, not taking care of the folks in the community. They've swept and garnished the house. They have talked good. But what has happened is that the evil spirit, the unclean spirit that went out, is coming back in and bringing seven more unclean spirits worse than itself. And you're going to see that in the future. The only thing that will stop that is if people start standing up, the saints stand up and organize. But they seem to be so lackadaisical and sleek. Well, it's not affecting me. Well, it is affecting you. And if you don't feel it, it's going to affect you. People think because they got money that they're not going to be affected. Well, you know, they got all that money and they can't buy a clue. You know, that's the problem. They're going to find out that all of this is going to come back and bite them in the butt sooner or later, because my old grandma used to tell me this, and it's true, and I'll leave you with this. If they come for me today, Reverend Pinckney, if they come for me today, they're going to come for you tomorrow.
Amen.
And you better believe.
There you go.
And you better believe. You better believe they're coming, brother. They're coming.
They coming. They, whether we like it or not, they're coming. They're on their way right now. My brother, thank you
on
so much. Listen, let's talk soon, and appreciate you so much. Stay focused. Stay on that battlefield. And when we fight, we win. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir.
All right now. Let me bring in my good friend from Texas, the Longhorn State. And when I talked to him on the phone today, yesterday, I can't remember when. We talked about what was happening, but he told me it was 400 miles away from him. My brother, talk to me.
Hello, Reverend Pinckney. This is Jesus Mendoza. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm still hanging here by the grace of the Lord. And
amen.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Yes, thank you for the opportunity, and with your permission, I'm respectfully requesting support letters that I can submit to a case pending before a federal court. Anybody that would like to send me a letter of support, they can send an email for sample letters. So even a small paragraph would do to let the court know that other people are interested in the outcome of this case, and they can send an email to a friend of mine, because I cannot even use a computer, and that is 2315 Guinea. It's J as in Joy, E as in Elsa, A as in Apple, N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy, E as in Elsa at gmail.com. 2315 Guinea at gmail.com. Basically, I have been homebound for more than 10 years with a life-threatening electrosensitivity, which is caused and aggravated by exposure to the same microwaves and radiation surveillance reaching children at school. Exposure to even low levels of radiation causes me, among other things, swelling of vital organs, life-threatening rashes and loss of skin, and speech, concentration, and breathing problems. I have been violently ill several times. At times, I struggle to breathe even with oxygen. I am sleep deprived and in pain all the time. This is a horrible way to die. After evidence on a federal court in Grand Rapids proved that my electrosensitivity was caused by a retaliatory radiation surveillance, Michigan became the first to criminalize without to life, without parole, a radiation aggression. That is House Bill 4513 and 4514. Twice, the Social Security has found my electrosensitivity a medical severe physical impairment, and twice, the commissioner has denied my application for disability benefits to conceal the harm caused by the retaliatory surveillance and to conceal that the microwaves and radiation surveillance at school are maiming and torturing children to death. In retaliation for denouncing these atrocities, the commissioner and the three deep state judges left pending for more than 10 years my lawsuit for disability benefits. And that's what I'm asking for letters of support. In essence, a specific, concrete, and undisputed medical, scientific, and legal evidence on the record proves how federal and state agents are manipulating federal and state judges to commit fraud on their courts to conceal the greatest atrocities ever committed against millions of children and against millions of other innocent, defenseless, and unsuspecting victims. The evidence on the record proves how the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, in collusion with the U.S. Department of Education, the commissioner of the Social Security, and federal and state agents and prosecutors, including the FBI and the Texas Rangers, manipulated and are manipulating more than 25 judges to commit fraud on their courts to conceal that school children are being exposed to harmful radiation, including radiation above the federal safety standards and to the same radiation that caused harm to teachers, to firefighters, and to police officers, to conceal that the harmful, compulsory, and unnecessary exposures to microwaves and radiation surveillance at school are causing children electrosensitivity and brain, eye, blood, nerve, heart, and DNA damage, and other severe, catastrophic, and deadly harm and disabilities that defeat the purpose of education, and to conceal that the radiation at school is increasing by more than 1,000% the children's risk of cancer and increasing by more than 450% the risk of dying to children suffering from life-threatening illnesses, and to conceal that the radiation school is responsible for the poor academic performance, for the millions of children suffering from learning and behavioral disabilities, for the millions of visits to the school nurse, for the more than 1,000% increase on reports of school children's sickness, and for the millions of absences for health reasons and to conceal that this exposure to radiation are responsible for the dramatic increase on the number of school children collapsing in class and committing suicide, and for the dramatic increase on the number of children suffering from life-threatening and terminal illnesses and disabilities, to conceal also that government-sponsored hate group bullying, which includes school officials, teachers, and students, are provoking children and the mentally disabled to commit mass shootings and other acts of terrorism to justify, under the fabricated excuses for national security, the massive deployment of harmful military-grade microwave radiation surveillance in schools and even homes, to conceal that government-sponsored hate group bullying and radiation surveillance are used to maim and torture to death children, those who denounce government corruption, and other innocent, defenseless, and unsuspecting victims, and even in the privacy of their homes, to conceal that a massive medical malpractice and a massive Medicaid and Medicare fraud are masking the harm caused by the microwaves and radiation surveillance and by government-sponsored hate group bullying, and to conceal that under fabricated excuses on national security, the future of our children and the future of our country and national security are being sold to the trillion-dollar wireless, Big Pharma, and to the medical cartels, as detailed by the petition to impeach three federal judges submitted to the U.S. House of Representatives, by the emergency request to Congress to protect our children, and by the statement of physical disabilities posted on the case law section of Jay Mendoza at wirelesswatchblog.org. wirelesswatchblog.org. And that is the reasons that I'm asking for letters of support to submit to the court, so the court, to let the court know that other people are interested on the outcome of this case. It can be just a small paragraph, and they can submit some request for sample letters to 2315 Jeannie, J-E-A-N-N-E, at email.com. She can send you a sample letter, and you can reply with your letter that I can put on an addendum, and I can still submit to the court, letting the court know that other people are interested in protecting our children from these atrocities. And thank you very much for letting me be here, sir.
All right. You know, that is huge. You stay safe out there and take care
thank
of yourself
you,
and stay in touch. Right on, my
thank
brother.
You,
all right, talk
thank
to you,
you
soon. Let me move on to my good friend Annette, and she's going to tell us when to shop and when not to shop and lay it out, because people need to know. See, you got to tell black people over and over and over again, because they don't hear you. They don't hear you. Annette, talk to me.
Well, first of all, I want to apologize because I'm out here in traffic in Sacramento, California. And
all right. I know that area quite well.
Okay. All right. And I just want to say, Reverend Pigney, on Tuesday was Ticket Tuesday, and make sure you don't do any gambling, no lottery tickets, no scratching, but it was called the Mayor Day. And I want you to know, I tried all day long, because I even sent it out to all my contacts. I put it on my Facebook page and my Instagram and all my social media to call the mayor of Benton Harbor. And I'm telling you, it was busy up until after 7 o'clock my time. Then
mm-hmm.
I called the next morning, and it was still busy. So I don't know if they listened to your show and they knew we were going to be Bin Laden on the telephone dropping the bomb, or if we, again, I called all day, and I even called the next day, and it was super busy. So, again, these are the kind of things that we can do to make some real big changes.
Absolutely.
I also have
you know what? I called myself. I tried to get in myself and couldn't get in. And it goes
I know,
on
I
and
know.
On and on. But it's a good thing. See, that's a good thing. That's how you put the attack on these kind of scumbags, you know. And, you know, not only, you know, he won the Sambo of the Year Award for 2021, and he got a good shot of winning for 2022. But he should also be classified as a scumbag of the year, too. That's another thing. Any time that you hurt children, you destroy children, there's a major problem to that, because that's the future that he's destroying. So, yeah, I'm elated that, you know, that everything was a success last week. And let's do it again this week. Let's keep that pressure on them.
Yes, I totally agree. And these are the kind of things that we must focus on. And this is the way I heard your other caller say we must organize. This is the way that we organize. We organize and we vote with our dollars. And the way we vote with our dollars is on McDonald's Mondays, no fast food. Ticket Tuesday, no lottery, no gambling, no scratchers. Walmart Wednesday, no Walmart, no Mart stores. And please, I actually send out a reminder, and I would suggest that to everyone. I'm going to be working on getting a calendar. And on these calendars, we won't put our family. We want to put the forefathers and mothers from the 1800s that we have their birthdays. And then at the top of the calendar, it's going to tell you Monday, Sunday through Saturday what to do or what not to do. But again, on Wednesday, Walmart Wednesday, no Mart stores, no convenience stores, no 7-Eleven, no Walmart, no Mart stores. Thursday. This is a very important day. No alcohol and no gasoline. Again, now, you could get this on any other day, but please, on these particular days, do not do that, because, again, what happens is if everybody's doing it in all the communities across the country, these people are going to go in and they're going to see that we are serious when we're saying about voting with our dollars. If you're not supporting us, we're not supporting you. Just point blank. If you're not supporting us, we're not supporting you. And then Friday, on Friday, and remember, do not go to any corner on Friday. We shop with all the other ethnic groups. We spend money with all the other ethnic groups. But no one want to come and spend money with us. They don't want to celebrate the Juneteenth with us. And again, we're going to vote with our dollars. If you're going to do business with us, we're just not going to do business with you. We may go to this 7-Eleven over on this side of the street, because these are the people who say, okay, we're donating back, we're hiring jobs, we're doing, these are people who are donating to our community, working with us. We're not going to do business with anybody who's not doing business with us. And on Foreign Friday, try to make sure you find Black-owned. O-W-N, Lee, only. Try to find only Black-owned businesses and shop at the Black-owned businesses. And on Saturday, of course, it's Sabbath Saturday. We encourage every single person, because this is what's happening. We are working so much. And like you say, we're so busy doing nothing. And when we're having that time that could be designated to rest, to set aside, and to be able to put together an agenda that we're going to be working together and moving forward. Now, again, we have some of the most exciting news, and I've been trying, Doris was on the line with me, because I really wanted her to share. And this is unbelievable. Miss Doris has a relative who actually has the deed and has all the information to the company, the Davis Brothers Lumber Company. He actually had family members who had this information, who sent to Baton Rouge and got the original deed to the company. So So again, this is some fascinating. As a matter of fact, they said that, you know, you can only handle the documents with gloves because they are very fragile. However, this is the information that we have and that we need, and I hope that I send that email to you, Reverend Pinckney, where we send to the state of Louisiana the governor, the attorney general, the secretary, and the treasurer, demanding that all operations cease until the ownership dispute is settled. Now, if there's a dispute about who's owning it, they said to me, you need to go and get this and you need to clear. I said, well, we got a highway 167 that comes right through the property, and we got some train tracks that come straight through the property. I tell you what, let's just put a no trespassing sign, and we're going to have a global meltdown because we know that the oil, the timber, all of that is coming right through the property. They stealing it, and then they having the profits to be shared among themselves. And, of course, like Doris and their family, they actually did the whistleblower. They did the whistleblower case, blowing the whistle, because they are getting their money but not getting their money. With the Davis family, we're not getting our money at all. So,
there you go.
Again, we want people to join our whistleblower lawsuit. Anyone, and this is the whistleblower lawsuit. I really want to reemphasize the fact we're dealing with our property, and the heirs will automatically get what belongs to them once they come and claim their portion. This is very important because a lot of people
Listen to this. I got to go to my next guest, but tomorrow, I'm going to give you all the time in the world to talk about this and have your friend come on tomorrow so that we can get it across to everybody. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock, we are still having our show. I don't celebrate the 4th of July. Those of you who celebrate it, that's on you. I don't have no gripe against you for celebrating, but I don't do it. I don't do stuff like that because I don't think it's appropriate, and especially for a black person. So listen, tomorrow, why don't you, if you can, tomorrow, call in at tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and everybody who I don't get to today, call in tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and I'll make sure that you get some time. On that note, I gotta leave you a net. Let's plan for tomorrow at 1 o'clock. All right. Let me bring in my good friend James. All right now, my good friend James, because I know he got a lot to talk about. So he got about 7 minutes to say what he needs to say. So talk to me.
You know, Reverend Pinckney, right now I'm looking at live news Fox from Chicago. See, Chicago, they're doing the same thing about the black violence with the kids in Detroit. See, we're being targeted. Every black major city is because our black politicians have never did anything for the black race. The black radio hosts on 910 AM radio, they was put together to lose Detroit. Detroit is the biggest, blackest city in the United States. When Detroit falls, all other black cities will fall too because they are smaller black population. See, we need to tell it like it is or don't tell it at all. Call their birth names. That's right. They doing the damage. I call it black terrorism to our own people. How can we keep having these black politicians all of these years and they have never, ever set out and said what they're going to do for the black race? Every president that ever been a president have never talked about doing something for the black race first. You never heard since you had the history of black churches up north turn their back on the black people. You look at Ben Harbor, lead in the water. President Biden been here 5 times to Michigan. Not one time, none of these black churches or the black radio hosts on 910, especially Sam and Banker Lee Thompson, ever said, let's get together and let's tell the president to go to Ben Harbor. I heard, what is his name again? Not Sam, Banker Lee Thompson said when Al Sharpton was going to Grand Rapids, he said, well, I got to get off the airwaves and I got to go to Grand Rapids because Al Sharpton is going to be up there. But he, I bet you when he got there, he never said, well, Al Sharpton, let's go to Ben Harbor. See, this is what I'm talking about. Blacks killing blacks. Blacks setting up for black kids not to have a future. The only future the black kids are going to have in this country is going to prison because they do everything for the foreigners, never once did anything for the blacks in this country. How do you have an Al Sharpton? Let me rephrase that. Alfred Charles Sharpton is his birth name. But he's supposed to represent blacks like he say Martin Luther King did. See, nobody is like their father. George Floyd was murdered. He had Martin Luther King's son there, didn't he? He had the black woman from Congress. What is her name? I know her name and can't even think of it. He had all of them there. But he did not get together and say, hey, let's talk about the black race. They said he got a key to the White House to go talk to Biden anytime he wants to. Not one time, I bet you have, he said, well, Joe, President Biden, what about black folks in this country? See, the first black woman on the Supreme Court, what good is that going to do? She can never out-talk or out-vote all the men that's on there. See, they playing this color thing. Now Joe Biden got a young black girl. She comes out and speak all the time. See, and people fall for it. Black women, you know what the problem is with the black women? They worried about how they look instead of how they live. You got all this long false hair. How is it that you put these eyelashes on your face and the top is longer than the bottom? Why don't you just cut the bottom off and let the top stay on? Save that money. See, if they just take one of your eye sockets and set one of them 3 inches out further than the other, you'll go for that, women. Wake up. Wake up. It's not for us. Every foreigner has it made in this country. We still at the end because we don't speak for our people. We should never speak for another race when they don't speak for us. Get rid of Al Sharpton. He's no good. He's the black terrorist. That's what he is. If we don't speak up for ourselves, who will? If we don't put ourselves first, who will? Can't y'all see it? Congress don't care nothing about us. They give you somebody black to sit on the bench for what? They ain't gonna do nothing. They ain't solve one black problem. Black people have never solved one problem since we've been here. This is why we got all the problems in the world. Now, they closed the borders down for the coronavirus, but you never seen a shortage of heroin come in this country, did you? See what I'm saying? They're talking about, well, the violence is bad. There's no heroin out in the white suburbs. It's only in the black cities. But they don't want to punish the ones that's bringing it. Just punish the ones they give it to, which is the blacks.
Yes,
so
right.
You think the blacks is not going to sell it to make money when they have no future? That's their only future is to sell it, get killed, or go to prison. And we should never talk about January 6th because white folks showed us the way to go. Go there when they open. White folks didn't vote for no black Congress people. They could have stayed in their seat. They weren't going to bother them. They went after the ones they voted for. But we want to defend them. We should have went. But here go the black woman again. They to kill us. They're killing you anyway. They're killing you and you didn't go. At least stand up and fight. Get rid of the 9:10 a.m. radio black host because they got paid to do what they did, which is to sell out Detroit. Detroit is sold out. Well, I know
there
we got a time, but
all right, Jay. Yeah, all right. Listen, tomorrow at 1 p.m., you can call in on the same number, 314 Erico's, call in tomorrow. I'm going to get you on so we can talk. I want to remind everybody about the Sambo of the Year Award. You can vote by going to sending me an email, the BANCO9342@sbcglobal.net. I repeat that. That's Banco, BANCO9342@sbcglobal.net. We had well over 1,000 people in just 3 days to vote and send out emails. It's overwhelming, but we can handle it because this is very, very important. And the candidates are the mayor of Benton Harbor, Marcus Singer, not Muhammad. He's Marcus Singer. He's the candidate that won last year Soundboy of the Year Award, but he was nominated again this year. And then we have Judge Mayfield. She's the Clarence Thomas of Barron County. She give away black babies. She take away black babies. She been doing this for over 20 years. And unfortunately, that's just the way it is. Then we have the Chief of Police, Dan McGinnis. We got him. Never solved the case. Never. Then we have Barney Fife, Ron Singleton. The Barney Fife of the commissioners, just a scumbag. And then we have the mother and the son combination. We have Marletta Seats and her son, Dwayne Seats, two scumbags. One is an elected official, and we want to make sure you get your votes in. You can vote for two of the six. And all you vote by just sending me an email to BANCO9342@sbcglobal. And on that note, we have just ran out of time. Next week, tomorrow, 1 o'clock, we'll see you then.